الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه أما بعد verily all praise due to Allah and may Allah send His peace and blessings upon His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The khutbah, ya akhwan, was about the description of the Hajj of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Something that I myself do not have much knowledge about. So I'm not going to sit here and try to do anything, because I don't know. I don't know in details. I have general ideas. So the Shaykh basically, if you've been studying with Yusuf Reyes, who's going to do Hajj here, raise your hand. That's it, three brothers, four, five, six, mashallah. Tayyib, whomever's going for Hajj, you've been studying with Shaykh Yusuf, the etiquette of Hajj and the steps to Aqab Salah, the various steps of Hajj. The Shaykh mentioned that, how the Prophet ﷺ began, how he went to the Haram, he entered into the Masjid, he did the Tawaf, he prayed behind the Maqam of Ibrahim, he went and did the Sa'i between Safa and Marwa, mentioning the dhikr or the remembrance during each one of these occasions, the supplication he ﷺ made, then he went to Mina, then he went to Arafah, he slept over there, then he went to Arafah the next day, stood at Arafah, and all the steps that I myself am studying right now. I don't know much about. It's Hajj is not a joke, by the way. It's you have to really have know what you're talking about before you dwell into something like that. So I will make this very brief, or I will turn the tables around. You ask me questions, and if I have answers, I will give them back to you, whether regarding Hajj or not. I may know, I may not know, but it's better than nothing. If it's something that's not regarding Hajj, no problem. So that way it will be this. The khutbah basically was the description of Hajj. You should have been studying this with Yusuf Reyes. So you don't need nothing from me. You understand what I'm saying? Good. But I can remind you and myself that we need to have ikhlas, sincerity in Hajj. Why? Back home, not here, I don't know how it is done here, I've never seen it. This is my first year. Back home, when a person goes for Hajj, oh man, he should know what happens while he's gone. The people go, Aqab Salah, they buy a big, what do you call these things that they put the advertisement on? You know, you see the
banner.
They get a big banner. Al-Hajj, they call him Al-Hajj, whatever, Muhammad, whatever his name is. And they make a, anyway. And they make a big celebration. From that day, his name is no longer Muhammad. He'll become Al-Hajj Muhammad. Aywa. I know. That's what I'm telling you. I've seen it. My family members, I remember. Big party. Halla tayyib. Of course, a person is not reliable for this. But some people, wallahi, they go for Hajj so they can become a Hajj. And so the people, because when you go to Hajj and come back, people treat you different back home. So now this is not just a brother, this brother been to Haram, to Mecca. So they start treating you a certain way. So some people, may Allah pardon us, and then they go to Hajj for the title. They say that some person went to Hajj three times. And every time he would come back, they will add one more Hajj on the banner. So as they became Al-Hajj, 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 Muhammad. Ya boy. Sure. What is going on here? Three times Hajj, so every time you do Hajj, you're going to put another Hajj. Then you're going to have a big name. Al-Hajj 10 times Muhammad. Anyways, none of this stuff. You don't be calling yourself Hajj. If somebody speaks, you say, Brother Ahmed, say, don't call me Ahmed. Call me Hajj Ahmed. Tell him, you know, don't do none of that stuff. Okay, you're still the same brother. And ask Allah to accept from you. Nobody knows, ya akhi, from all these people in Hajj, man, I don't know how many millions of people, nobody, not even one person knows that his Hajj was accepted. Yeah, I see it. Barakallah fi. Jazakallah. Not even one person knows that his Hajj was accepted. How do you know? Do you have any information, any news, any receipts as we mentioned before? No, Allah. La wallah. But you hope, we have good assumption, we have good hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He will accept our Hajj. But nobody really knows if the Hajj was accepted or not. So what are we calling ourselves and given titles and stuff like that? That shouldn't be done. طيب. And another thing is taqwa. وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَأَنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. Allah says, zad is that which you carry with you on a journey. And Allah says that the best kind of stuff, the best kind of care, you know, things you carry with you is taqwa, is the fear of Allah. is doing what Allah commanded and stay away from me for bait. Hala, now when we go home, those who will do Hajj, you will open your bags, huh? And you put the ihram, you put your clothes, the pants and the clothes you're going to wear, the soap and the shampoo. Yarhamukallah. The soap and the shampoo. No, hold on now. Time out. There are rights of a Muslim over a Muslim. Among the rights is, if he says salam alaikum, you have to say wa alaikum salam. It's an obligation. If he says, if he sneezes, then he says alhamdulillah, you have to say alhamdulillah. Then he says yahdikum Allah wa yuslihu balakum. You can memorize these on your own time, but you have to say alhamdulillah. If he says alhamdulillah, if he doesn't say alhamdulillah, you don't say nothing to him. It's conditional. When I'm saying alhamdulillah, except that somebody sneezes and they don't say anything, so you don't say anything. Tayyib? In salah, this guy is saying, if you say alhamdulillah when you sneeze, no problem, but nobody's supposed to tell you nothing. Aywa, because this happened during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When a brother sneezed, he said alhamdulillah, so a brother said alhamdulillah, and everybody started making noise, like, Akhi, what are you doing? And he got, you know, he got mad, and then he said whatever he said. Then the Prophet ﷺ told him afterwards that this is salah, is the remembrance of Allah, and no worldly talk should be involved in it. Anyways, he does with him ﷺ as usually it is. But so if somebody in the salah sneezes, then he if you say alhamdulillah, he shouldn't say alhamdulillah out loud. Some scholars say he shouldn't say anything if you sneeze in the salah. Some say you say alhamdulillah because it's part of the remembrance of the salah, but of course not audibly, not in a loud voice. But if case somebody said it in a loud voice, you don't tell him yarhamukallah in the salah. Tayyib, because you're in another act of worship. So we pack our bag, our luggage, our suitcase, and we put the clothes and soap and toothbrush and what have you. And then this is one kind of maintenance for the trip and the things that you will carry with you. But the really, as Allah says in the Quran, the best one is taqwa, the fear of Allah. Going there for the sake of Allah, not disobeying Allah, doing what Allah commanded, and performing the Hajj in the best way possible. This is the best thing that you take with you, not the clothes. Nah. So some people, may Allah forgive us and forgive them, they prepare themselves outwardly regarding the world and dress code and what have you, and then as soon as they go on their trip for Hajj, you see the cigarette doesn't fall from his mouth. Huh? He's going to the hotel, before he goes to the haram, he's smoking a cigarette. As soon as he goes to the haram, he's smoking a cigarette. Taqwa is that you don't do something that Allah forbade. Now, cigarettes, man, is a problem. Just in case you don't know, we were talking about this earlier. Cigarette is not just like this fun little thing you do. This is a sin you're committing every time you puff something, because it harms your body, and it is haram to harm your body. It kills you, and it is haram to kill yourself. You cannot commit suicide in Islam, whether quick suicide or long-term suicide. You can't shoot yourself, and you can't do something that will cause you to die. You cannot. And you cannot waste your money extravagantly, and smoke and cigarettes cost money, and it's a waste of money that you could use anyway. Anyways, this is another discussion. So some people be looking at women. He get on the bus on the way to Hajj, and the bus is about to take to Mecca, and then he sees some pretty woman walking by. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. La ya habibi. It doesn't work this way. You see him, lower your gaze. Turn around. Fear Allah. Have taqwa of Allah. This is the objective of Hajj. This is the objective of Salah. This is the objective of Siyam. Every act of worship we do is so we can get closer to Allah. Not so we can just do it for cultural habit. Wallahi, I go Hajj like everybody else and wind up disobeying Allah from the time we get on the bus until the time we come back. And some people go over there, they start fighting and arguing and having this. All this might nullify your Hajj, or at least you could say it might reduce it, and you don't get the benefit behind it. Because the Prophet ﷺ said the reward of an acceptable Hajj is nothing but Jannah, paradise. If you go and you get in an argument with someone over nothing because he squeezed you too much, and there's a million people doing tawaf at the same time, yani give it a break. You cannot help it. If somebody gives you an elbow, somebody pushes you, forgive him for the sake of Allah. Don't respond. Don't care. Don't care. You're not concerned about this person. Because if you get into it, you are in trouble now. And this is a test from Allah. So we have to be patient. Of course, it's easily said, not easily done. When we're over there, we might forget. So I ask Allah to keep us remembering this now and later, if we do go there.
not to get carried away with people who want to just do haram things. And some men find a woman doing tawaf and he stick himself behind her and he keeps doing tawaf with her the whole time. He may do tawaf 50 times and it's only 7 because she's still doing tawaf. Some people, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. Wallahi, these people need to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They go into the house of Allah and the haram and doing this crazy outrageous stuff. These people have zero taqwa, the least you could say. So be careful of falling into the traps of the shaitan with some woman being next to you, so you try to stay close to her. Move away from women. Find a bunch of men and hang out with them. Stay away from women as much as possible. طيب. Now some of these things, يعني, we joke about them, but they're really serious. We joke because we want to be easygoing. At the same time, I want you to understand that these are serious things. It's not a joke for somebody to stay behind a woman the whole time in tawaf. So maybe it's a mistake on my behalf to say it this way. Astaghfirullah. But for next time, I will try not to do it. But realistically, اخوان, it's not a joke, يعني, for somebody to be doing this in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not any masjid. If you do this in a masjid, it's a problem. Let alone you do it in the haram. And this, the reward is multiplied and the sin is multiplied. The reward is multiplied and the sin is multiplied. So it's a serious affair. So we need to go with the intention of seeking the pleasure of Allah only. Perhaps we will be qualified for those whom Allah will forgive all of their sins, as it comes in the narration from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that you will be back, you will be the same way the day your mother gave birth to you. You'll go back free from sins like the day you were born. You're born with no sins. That's the difference between Islam and Christianity. In Christianity, you are born with sin. You inherit the sin from Adam, alayhi salatu wasalam. You didn't do anything, but you come already with sins on your back. In Islam, you come with nothing. Then, the whole time you're below puberty, you still don't have nothing. Once you reach the age of puberty and you're able to make decisions, now you become accountable. You don't inherit no sin of somebody else, because this is injustice. If your father was a good person, or let's say not your father, if somebody's father was a thief and he's a good person, is it fair to judge him as a thief because his father was a thief? He's good. His father is his father. What do you make the problem of the father with the son? It's injustice. Likewise, Adam alayhi salam did what he did. Allah repented upon him, and he's among the people of paradise. So what do you want? We don't inherit nothing he did. We come with our own clean stuff. So if your hajj is accepted, then you will be back like that day with no sins, zero. That's a big deal, man. That's a very big deal. So that's the objective of hajj. So anything that will ruin that, leave it alone. And another thing, ya akhwan, be careful of idle talk. What is idle talk? Talk that has no benefit in it. You may sit next to someone in the bus, and the whole trip you're talking about something that is not sinful, but not beneficial. طيب? Something about this world that is of no benefit. And another person is sitting there saying, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Labbaik, Allahumma Labbaik, Labbaik, La Sharika Laka, Labbaik. And you're talking about the size of the shoes and how nice the hat is and the t-shirt you bought from Sarawat. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. And you're dwelling in the dunya. This is, yani. Aywa. No problem, sir. And today, mashallah, you're on a special.
From my boss?
Yes. May Allah make it easy for you, Habib. No, yes, I'm just teasing you, man. You know me. Come on now. I don't mind. But close the door. So a person will be talking about nothing the whole time. The whole time talking. If it's not sinful, the least you could say it's not beneficial. This is time to take advantage. Really try to be in seclusion. Try to tell the people, look, man, this is a serious act of worship. Unless you want to teach me something, unless you want to benefit me with something, try to limit your conversation with me. No problem with that. Say that to the brother. You will be helping him. He will say, oh, if he's feeling this way, why don't I do the same thing? Tell the person who's going to be sitting next to you, ya akhi, unless it is reminders about Allah, and unless you're teaching me something about hajj, ma'alish, leave me alone. And stay busy with remembering Allah. Don't get over involved with too much talk. Too much talk will make your heart hard. So you need to soften your heart with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So avoid idle talk altogether. Now, Anyone has any questions? Wa alaykum salam. Anyone has any questions? Oh, khalas? Yes, one question.
How about this some dogs are killed and the
there you are.
You said that because back in our country we have to make some certain records for cleansing.
No, this is from the Sunnah. If a dog licks you, the dog. Now in Islam the dog is an impure animal. طيب, he is not pure. Unlike the cat. There's nothing wrong with having a cat at home. She may lick you. And she may lick your water. You can still use the water to make wudu. From the same water that the cat has drank from. This is based on the hadith of Prophet ﷺ, that he used the water that the cat had drank from. This is not the same thing with a dog. You cannot possibly in Islam have a dog at home living with you. Because he is najis, he is impure, and his saliva is impure. The outside of the dog is not impure, like the skin and what have you. But the saliva is impure, and the dog all day is, he's drooling. If the saliva hits you, you have to wash, if it's a garment, you have to wash it 7 times. And the last time with dirt, with sand, or some scholars say with soap nowadays. Nonetheless, it needs to be 7 times washed in order to purify it from the impurity of the dog. And they say the same thing is applicable to the skin. So this is from the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. It's not something like this only back home. This is something that is correct. If a dog licks you. Now if a dog doesn't lick you, then he may touch you with his body, there's nothing wrong. But a Muslim should not have a dog at home. If you want to have a dog, it should be either for hunting or for security. And if it is for security, he does not have to live with you. He has to be outside to secure the house, not inside the house. But you have to be very careful in the way you interact with the dog. So this is another thing. Now. خلاص يلا سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك.